Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. It has been a custom, where it fits, for a mother to help out her adult daughter right before she gives birth to her child, whether first child or otherwise. I said this is a custom where it fits, because not every daughter wants her mother to be with her right before or right after her delivery. Now, in today's New Testament reading, we don't exactly have that situation here, because Mary is younger than her relative Elizabeth, and both of them are pregnant, not at the exact same time, but overlapping. So it's not an issue of the older helping the other, but it is one relative keeping company with another one. And since both of them are pregnant, they are no doubt offering each other the gift of their company and moral support. Can you imagine Elizabeth and Mary saying to one another, "How often did this child move around? Does it? How often?" Sarah, when Sarah was pregnant, she wanted me to put her hand on her belly, and I just couldn't do it. That's the way it goes. In this meeting of Mary and Elizabeth, we encounter Elizabeth's words of prophetic encouragement to Mary, and then Mary's song of praise to God. So my first point is Elizabeth's words to Mary. After hearing the message of the angel Gabriel with the news that her relative Elizabeth was in the sixth month of her pregnancy, Mary arose from her place in Nazareth and went eagerly to the hill country of Judea, to the city where Elizabeth lived. That city was not named. But Mary travels to see her relative Elizabeth with much anticipation. Since Mary lived in Nazareth, which was in the northern section of Israel, and she travels to Judah, which is in the southern part of Israel, perhaps it was a journey of at least 50 or more miles, and probably took several days to journey there. When Mary entered Elizabeth's house and spoke to her relative Elizabeth, the child within Elizabeth recognized the voice of Mary as the voice of the mother of my Lord. And John, yet unborn, leaped for joy. Luke has already told us in Luke 1:15 that the unborn child who is yet to be named John would be filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Since John was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was able to sense the divine presence of the unborn child Jesus who was within Mary's womb. We are confronted with the mysterious truth that an unborn person who is not yet able to talk or articulate what is happening, yet has the gift of faith and reacts with godly joy. Again, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that, because we are so used to thinking in order to know God, we have to be of a certain age and we have to be able to articulate a confession of faith. I'll throw this in for no charge. Why we baptize infants? It's possible for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here we're not even talking about an infant yet. We're talking about a developing embryo. And yet, it was real. So let's lay aside our preconceived ideas. It's possible for infants to know the Lord and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:41 says this: when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only was John filled with the Holy Spirit, but his mother Elizabeth was too and cried out prophetically about Mary and her son. Elizabeth says this to Mary and about Mary in Luke 1, 42 through 45. She cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." When Elizabeth says to Mary concerning her and her son, it is a confession that the one within Mary is both human and divine, the very Son of God himself. It's important to acknowledge that even though Jesus' body was developing within Mary, it was not fully formed. Jesus is nevertheless fully and truly the Son of God incarnate. And Mary is recognized as being his mother. This truth reminds us that life begins at conception. And the developing child within any woman who is pregnant is one who is made in the image of God. And thus, fully a human person, and whose life ought to be respected and protected from conception to natural death. Notice that Elizabeth says that Mary is also blessed because she believed what the Lord had spoken to her would be fulfilled, and that the baby within her is blessed by God. This refers to Mary's humble acceptance of the word of the angel in Luke 1:38. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, has acknowledged Mary's acceptance of the angelic message. It is important to note the exuberance and the intensity of joy in Elizabeth as she recognizes the blessings of God on his people, including Mary and the child she bears. Our passage says that Elizabeth cried out with a loud voice. Literally, she shouted out with a great yell that the child within her leaped for joy. This was a time of fervent rejoicing because God was in their midst and this baby would bring salvation to his people. Luke relates this meeting between Mary and Elizabeth and their conversation not simply as a biographical item in the life of Mary, or to link the two stories of the conception and birth of John and Jesus. Luke also relates it as to show that the kingdom of God is breaking in to human history. Christians have referred to the long period between the ending of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament as the time of prophetic silence, since no prophets had been heard in Israel in that intervening period. As the author of Hebrews says in the opening verses of his book, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Now at last, the time of the fulfillment of Moses and the prophets has come. The Holy Spirit is moving among God's chosen people once again, and the forerunner and his mother are the first fruits of it. The Holy Spirit imparts prophetic inspiration to Elizabeth to declare God's word concerning Mary and her son. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. Mary's response itself is lyrical prophecy, that is, prophecy set in the genre of poetry in praise to God. Her words are reminiscent of Hannah's song in 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10, in which Hannah praises God for his mercy in causing her to conceive in an old age And that child was Samuel. Mary declares praise to God in her inmost being. And instead of God paying attention to the rich and famous, her spirit rejoices in God for his mercy. In praising God, Mary stands in a long succession of those who have received God's grace and mercy. And his focus is on this present world and how different it is than from God's kingdom. This world values prestige and power and money, and yet God's kingdom values are just the opposite. Mary confesses that she is a servant of the Lord, a humble and lowly servant of the Lord. And while the world did easily ignore Mary, God in his mercy had regard for Mary and chose her specifically to be the mother who would not only bear, raise, and nurture the divine Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Elizabeth has already said that Mary would be blessed and her child as well, but here in verse 48, Mary confesses about herself, "From this time on, all generations will count me blessed." And so Mary stands as an example of all godly believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. "May it be to me even as you have promised." She confesses that God has done great things for her, and holy is his name. In verse 51, she goes back to speaking about the blessedness of all of God's people. And she gives a defining characteristic of all of God's people, which is that they fear the Lord. Mary says that God is bringing down the mighty, but exalting the lowly. Luke 1, 51 through 53 says he has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in their thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. These acts of God are here spoken of not necessarily a recounting just God's acts of past mercy. The fact that God has chosen Mary, an insignificant Nazareth of Galilee, to give birth to and raise up God's only begotten Son, shows that the worldly system of power exemplified in Herod's ruthless reign is giving way to God's kingdom. Mary rejects the accepted idea prevalent among some Israelites that wealth was necessarily an expression of God's blessing, as she speaks of what God will do for the poor. Psalm 107 verses 40 and 41 says this: "He pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in a pathless waste. But he sets the needy securely on high, away from affliction, and makes his families like a flock." And in so many ways, God's kingdom is the opposite and upside down from worldly values. Luke 1, 54 and 55 says this: "He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." God has helped Israel by raising up the Messiah in keeping with his covenant promises. God's covenant with Abraham entailed both multiplying and blessing his offspring and working within them to give them the gift of faith in Jehovah God. God's covenant with Abraham also included making the blessing of Abraham to reach out to all the nations of the earth who would be blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. This promise reaches its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus, who would bring salvation to all faithful Jews who call upon his name, and all Gentiles who trust in him for salvation. As the apostle Peter would later preach on the day of Pentecost, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Mary stayed 3 months with Elizabeth, no doubt assisting her in building her up in their faith in God and his promises. May our holy fellowship with our fellow Christians cause us to encourage one another in the most holy Christian faith and be a source of praise to our God, who always and faithfully keeps his promises. Men may disappoint us and break their word, either because they did not have the ability to keep the promise in the first place, or they had the ability but just didn't. But God is unlike us. He always keeps his promises. May we rejoice in our faithful God who saves us by his mercy. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for this blessed exchange and fellowship between Elizabeth and Mary. We thank you for the Holy Spirit inspiring and filling these godly women to proclaim your goodness and mercy to them and to all your people. Help us to be encouraged by their example, strengthened by their fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, the blessed company of all of God's faithful people. These things we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.